AI in Action is brought to you by Aulis International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Our host brings you the leading minds in AI, sharing their story, their success, and their advice. Focusing on fast-tracking you to the top, AI in Action cuts through the hype to help you kickstart your data science career. To listen to the latest AI in Action podcast, head over to www.aulis.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Podcasts.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Valentine. Our guest today is Siddharth Ranganathan. Siddharth is the Director of Data Science, BI and Analytics at Nintex. Siddharth, welcome to the show.
Thank you, JP. This is it's great to be part of the show.
Excellent. No, it's our pleasure. Thanks for joining. So let's start with yourself, Siddharth. Can you walk us through your background? Obviously, your role now at Nintex, which we're going to touch on shortly, but can you take us through where you first got started in technology, some of the roles you've held along the way, and what your journey has been like to lead to this point?
As far as my background is concerned, I would probably say that, you know, I've taken the road less traveled to enter the field of data analytics. Yeah, I came in 96 and I came here to do a bachelor's in computer information systems and economics from the University of Texas at Austin. And I did a minor in math and statistics, which is when I first got very interested in statistical analysis. It's funny because now when I think about it, I always wonder why I didn't pursue a PhD in statistics. And the answer is really simple, because it wasn't as sexy a profession as computer science was, computer and computer information systems was back in the 90s during the internet boom. And, you know, the jobs were very few and far between, especially with the 2001 recession. And so I kind of needed an employer who would sponsor me for an H-1B visa. So I entered the tech field as a web programmer for a well-known Austin-based global software company called National Instruments. And then I had a fantastic 4 years at NI. I learned a lot, made some fantastic relationships and friends. But one day I suddenly got the urge to become an investment banker working on Wall Street. And till today, I will not be able to articulate intelligently why I got that urge. But I will say I went to B school at Yale University to fulfill this urge. And the 2 years that I spent at Yale were probably two of the best years that I've had in my life. And they were very instrumental in shaping up my personality, the way I think about things, the relationships that I made, and, you know, and folks that I still keep in touch with today, you know, more than 12 years after graduating. My time at Yale was interesting because in 2007, I actually interned with S&P's structured finance team and I was sitting there and analyzing collateralized debt obligations, CDOs, which, if you remember back in 2007, was one of the primary reasons why we had the Great Recession. Because the CDO market completely collapsed. And I very vividly remember working on analyzing a CDO that was backed, underwritten by Bear Stearns. And I issued a press release downgrading Bear Stearns from AAA to I think it was a B or a B+. I can't remember now. 3 months later, Bear Stearns ceased to exist.
Wow.
And that was really exciting. But after that entire summer of interning with S&P, it just wasn't my cup of tea. And so I graduated and then I decided to join a diversified manufacturing company named Tyco International in their corporate treasury department. And I did that for nearly 5.5 years, including a 2-year stint in Singapore before coming back to the U.S., but I never really felt that treasury or finance was my real calling, and that's when I decided to go back to school and pursue my interest in stats and data science. So kind of coming back full circle, 15, 20 years ago when I first did my minor in math and statistics, and So my wife and I, we moved to the Pacific Northwest from New Jersey because my wife couldn't really handle the polar vortex of 2013, 2014. And that's when I started my second career shift in the field of data science and analytics. So I joined a management consultancy firm and worked in their analytics practice before joining Nintex. We can talk definitely a little bit more about my role here at Nintex, but I did want to make a point that when I look back at my career journey, I cannot emphasize enough how much of an impact my visa and my immigration status has had on my career decisions. Just to give you some context, JP, I waited nearly 17 years for my green card and 22 years to become a U.S. citizen.
That's insane.
And I imagine that you have several viewers and listeners who are in a similar situation.
They've
graduated from top universities here in the U.S., but they're tied to a visa or tied to a company. And it takes an immense amount of mental fortitude, courage, perseverance, trust, and loyalty to get through what might seem like an insurmountable challenge. It's a huge sacrifice. I was able to make that sacrifice because I was, I was in my mid-20s. I was unencumbered. I wasn't married. I didn't have any children. But it's usually not the same for most other people over there. And just a word of advice for any of your listeners who are in a similar situation. It's extremely tough out there, especially if you're in a visa situation. And you need to really assess the pros and cons about everything, including your personal life and how your career fits with your personal life. So it's had a tremendous impact on the career decisions that I've made, and I felt the urge to give that piece of advice podcast.
Really hugely important, and we really appreciate you highlighting it and talking about the struggle. It's something that often goes, not talked about enough, particularly in the field in which we work, where so many of the professionals are on this similar path, and it has a huge impact on career decisions every day. So I appreciate you talking about it. I think it's a topic that we could probably do a full podcast episode on, because there's so much to be learned from it. And for more junior people in their career, it's an unknown path. So thank you for sharing. So now let's look at Nintex. So you mentioned briefly in your introduction there your first stint at Nintex. So we want to talk through that. First of all, tell us who Nintex are, what you do, why it's a great product, and then talk to us about your role and your journey.
Yeah, so Nintex is the worldwide leader in process management and automation. Our mission is to really improve the way people work. Simple. We make it fast and easy to manage, automate, and optimize your business processes. So we offer a suite of products that make our Nintex platform, from process mapping all the way to workflow automation and robotic process automation. And then we have document generation capabilities within the suite as well. And our platform can connect to over 100 different systems through various connectors to orchestrate your entire business process easily and quickly. So think about a whole bunch of these processes, right? Everything has a workflow behind it and can be as simple as a vacation request process, where you are looking to take some time off, so you have to email your manager. Your manager, then the HR system has to take a look at your leave balance. If you have enough leave balance, then send an email to your manager saying, hey, employee X, Y, and Z has requested time off. Approve, rejected. So if you think about that, there's a whole workflow behind it, right? And it can be as simple as a vacation request, or it can be as complex as a procure to pay process, right? You think about your big SAP processes. So you might have a custom procure to pay process. With Nintex's suite of products, you can quickly and automate this. The product that we offer, it's a great product because it's a low code to no code offering aimed at automating relatively complex business processes. And you know, these things like business process automation and digital process automation have become more and more important than ever before in the age of the pandemic. Now, analysts and experts believe that this is going to explode to be about a $30 billion industry in the next few years. And that timeline has probably been accelerated because of the pandemic. And I think I'll say this, that we feel fortunate that we're the leaders in the industry, thanks to some very well executed decisions in our past. And we feel well positioned to ride the crest of the wave, because we're going to be a contender in any conversation that involves process management and automation. Now, just in terms of Nintex and our size, you know, we have over 10,000 customers globally with offices in Bellevue, Washington. That's our headquarters. We have offices in Irvine, California, Orlando, Florida, London, Johannesburg in South Africa, Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, and Melbourne in Australia. So that's a little bit about Nintex. As far as my role at Nintex, as your intro stated, I'm currently the Director of Data Science, BI, and Analytics at Nintex. And my main responsibilities include building the foundations and infrastructure for building our BI and analytics capability. That's first and foremost. The second part of my job involves activating a data science muscle that sits on top of our BI and analytics platform to drive operational efficiencies, especially as the way we go to market. This is my second stint at Nintex. I was first at Nintex between 2015 and 2017. The time that I spent during my first stint was mainly on the marketing side, where I was trying to build up their BI data warehousing function. And then I jumped ship to REI Co-op, which some of your listeners might know is a very well-known outdoor national retailer here based in the Pacific Northwest. And I joined REI as the head of their data science and marketing analytics team. And I ran an 11-person team that did everything from data engineering to analytics to data science. So now we're talking about attribution modeling, holdout statistical testing, propensity algorithms, advanced analytics to answer the impact of marketing promotions, and then BI reporting related to marketing activities. Things were going really well at REI when I had the pleasure of meeting who at then would become my future boss. His name is Neil Gottsacker, and he is the chief product officer at Nintex. And I had the pleasure of meeting him. And during the conversation, he saw and recognized the value of data and analytics, and how that would really propel his agenda forward here at Nintex. And he requested me to come back and lead this initiative working for him. I guess you could say that he saw an opportunity to make a difference in a business committed to continuously improving, and he wanted me to join his team. So it was a win-win situation for the both of us, a much-needed function for Nintex at that time, and an opportunity for me to really create something from the ground up and build something that I knew would have a profound and a lasting impact on the future direction of the company. So that's where I am right now with Nintex, and that's my remit here at Nintex right now.
Yeah, appreciate the detailed overview. It helps give a sense of the scale of the business, truly global, and then talking about, you know, the impact and the size. When you talk about a $30 billion industry, that's huge. Can you give us some insight into what it's like to be part of the data team there? You know, obviously it's a global operation and covering all aspects of technology, BI, data science, and analytics. Can you talk us through what it's like to be a member of the team, some of the projects that you might be working on, and how you go about running it?
I always describe the Nintex data team as a team that's in its adolescent years. We're still trying to figure out our identity, and you know, we're going through the pains of growing up, especially during your adolescent years. We're figuring out our identity, our overarching data strategy, we deal with a multitude of technologies like, you know, big data, Apache Spark through Azure Databricks, Snowflake as our internal data warehouse, Python, Scala, Power BI, Azure Machine Learning, pure Python-based data science models. And, you know, we're still constantly evolving. It's a great time to be part of the Nintex data team because we're growing really fast. It's a $30 billion industry. We're the leader and, you know, we're making some waves in the business process automation space. The way we're structured, it's really two teams. One is the R&D data engineering team that's based out of Melbourne, and they're building the next generation of our data platform using Azure Databricks to capture petabytes of streaming telemetry data from our products, right? So our workflow product, our RPA product, our ProMap mapping software products, and our DocGen products, so on and so forth. And then my team called Nintex Business Intelligence utilizes this information coupled with our CRM information in Salesforce and Marketo to produce business insights on customer usage and actionable insights such as customer health, churn propensity, customer usage of our data. And then this data is then utilized by the various teams because these data sets are democratized and made available to the entire Nintex community, including sales ops, and marketing, to utilize these data sets and become more efficient in the way they go to market and more efficient in the way they do their work. So that's how the team is structured. And it's a great time to be part of the team because, you know, we're just beginning to scratch the surface. There's still a lot of work to be done. You know, we're still building the foundation from all the way from the infrastructure and the BI reporting capability. And then using the BI platform to start activating data sets that can be used for data science and machine learning.
Siddharth, I want to get your take on the structure of data teams from a team building data strategy perspective. You have a proven track record of success yourself, but given that the nature of the work that Nintex do, you often get to look inside the data and tech teams of your customers. So you've got a unique oversight as to what works, what doesn't. So if you were speaking to, you know, aspirational team managers, strategy leaders on how to go about building a successful team, what would you tell them?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all strategy. It really depends on the size of the company, your product lines, the complexity of your operations. But the one theme that will always be resounding is first focus on your foundation, your data platforms, your data ingestion, your data quality, your data cleansing, your data governance, and your data transformations. Focus on optimizing and highly tuning your BI and basic analytics. And the reason why I say that, irrespective of data science and how your data science team is structured. The reason why I say focus on your data engineering, your data quality, and your BI and reporting is because there's Pareto optimality over here. And Pareto is a very famous economist who basically said that it's the 80-20 rule, right? You can get 80% of the value from 20% of your reports. In economics, we're usually taught that you maximize your revenue when your marginal revenue equals your marginal cost. So solving your BI, your data engineering, your data cleansing, that maximizes your marginal revenue while incurring very little marginal cost. Once you have that under control, then you can try to squeeze the remaining marginal revenue out of expanding into data science. And let's face it, JP, I mean, at least in my personal opinion, you really cannot stand up a data science capability without first having a robust BI platform. Why? Because the BI platform produces the data sets, which are then used to build data science and machine learning algorithms. If you ask a data science what his division of labor is on any given project, it's usually 80% of it is creating data sets. The remaining 20% is your machine learning, your data science algorithm. And guess what? That 80% of data sets can be really optimized if you start focusing on your BI platforms and your data ingestion, your data transformations, and your data cleansing and your data governance.
Yeah, really helpful, really helpful. Switching then, and this is my final question for you. You've built and managed very successful data science teams. You work with data scientists across multiple continents, and you see different types of skill sets coming in all the time. What guidance and advice could you offer to data scientists who are just starting out, or even people who are considering a career switch from academia to industry, or people who have an interest in data science? What guidance or advice could you offer to them?
The good news is that data science, data engineering, analytics, advanced analytics is going to be a field in demand for many, many years to come. About 98% of the companies of the Fortune 500 or the Fortune 1000 companies say that they want to be more data driven and that they want to utilize data as a strategic asset. But only 30 to 35% of those companies have reported success doing that. When you think about that, that's a huge imbalance in the demand and supply. There's a demand from 98.6% of the companies, and the supply is only 35%. That difference creates a white space for data scientists, data engineering, and data analytics professions. But in order to really utilize and take advantage of that white space, it's very important to continuously learn. So if there's one piece of advice that I can give, is to keep learning. Data science, programming, technology is a profession that changes so rapidly. Heck, now we're talking about Python not being the program of choice for many data scientists, because people are predicting that Python is going to near its end of life in the next 2 to 3 years. And Golang and I forget the other one, Julia, are going to be the next new language of choice for data scientists. Well, if that's the case, then we better start learning Golang and Julia very quickly, right? Because otherwise, if you're a Python-based programmer, then your skills are going to become obsolete pretty quickly. So the biggest piece of advice is keep learning, never stop learning. Even if you are a manager or a director, force yourself to keep learning new technologies. And I mean, go into the tool and write some code. Now, of course, we got to be a little practical. If you're a VP director for a large Fortune 500 company, then that may not be the most practical use of your time. But always try to keep on learning. For data scientists, enroll in these MOOC classes like DataCamp, Udemy, Coursera, whatever your flavor is, right? Or whatever the flavor of the month is. And the reason why I say that is not only will you be learning something new, you'll also get ideas on how to solve a problem that you're currently facing at work. Or better yet, you may identify a problem that you never knew you had one, and you'd figure out how to solve that problem by just going and learning new things. And also, I cannot stress this enough. We speak about data science and machine learning, and there's so much hype around data science and machine learning, but most people don't understand the basic statistics and the math behind an algorithm. So you find many data science practitioners who can utilize something out of the box, and they can write Python code and they can produce something fairly quickly. That's well and good. And, many a times that works just fine. But many a times it requires a fair amount of tuning, right? You figure out your model, but you need to hyper-tune it. And that's where understanding basic statistics and some of the math can really, really help you. And I say this, the only way you know you have a good grasp of something is if you can turn it around and teach somebody what you've learned. When you can do that successfully, then you know you've reached a satisfactory level of proficiency in the subject. So, to sum it up, keep learning, always be hungry to learn, and try to translate your data science parlance into normal business lingo. Explain how the solution solves a business challenge so you get buy-in and adoption from your business partners. It's one thing to say that I've utilized a random forest model with these hyper-tuning parameters, and it's another thing to say how your algorithm is solving the business challenge for your business partner. Those are two sides of the spectrum. And any successful data scientist should be able to come down from the math and the statistics all the way down to business lingo.
Yeah. Siddharth, that's excellent. I really appreciate you giving us such a breakdown on advice, both from building a data team, but then for the individual data science side. The work you're doing at Nintex sounds incredibly interesting, and it's great to hear that you're having such continued success. So we appreciate you coming on and talking to us about your business.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners as well, JP.
AI in Action is brought to you by Aulus International, covering your business's staffing, consulting, and networking needs. Aulus offer an exec search program. Aulus can help you discover how data science and AI can transform your company. With our unrivaled network of C-suite executives and senior AI professionals, we offer retained search services across the US and Europe. Get the Aulus advantage. Become a member of the Aulus community and enjoy some of the following. AI meetups. Once a month, our community gathers to listen to some of the leading experts in the world of data science and AI. Our speakers come from all over the world, including Dublin, Boston, and Frankfurt. We also have our AI mentors. Our experts will provide mentoring to all us members. And don't forget our AI in Action podcast. Each week, we have guests from all over the world talking us through their education, career, and more. Become an Aulus member and get the Aulus advantage. For more information and to sign up for our newsletter, log on to www.aulus.com. That's www.aulus.com. Aulus International, empowering through AI.